Okay, well, good morning, everybody. And can I welcome Dr. William Granger, who's here representing Auckland Regional Public Health Services, and to, you know, the rest of the panel, Director General Stephen McKernan, and the Deputy Director of Public Health, Dr. Fran McGrath, and Steve Brazier, who's the controller at the National Health Coordination Centre. What I'll go through, the format today is I'd like to go through some issues on this, on New Zealand's current status, the view of officials recommended on the strategy that we're pursuing, and then I'm going to turn to the Director General, who's going to update you on the proposed establishment of a community-based assessment centre at Middlemore, and also about the regional support and approach up there in Auckland. Dr. McGrath will also comment on some of the more recent cases that have come through. So just to repeat New Zealand's status, we are still in code yellow. The World Health Organization has moved its status from level 4 to level 5. That says that a pandemic is imminent and countries should prepare their plans. New Zealand has been preparing its plans since Sunday. Officials are now moving New Zealand's position scenario to what they call phase 5.1, which is to better describe the offshore position. It is not an escalation in New Zealand's pandemic planning. Officials met this morning to discuss the and confirm the New Zealand strategy for dealing with the swine flu prospect. And the technical advisory group, the Ministry of Health and the public health units are all consistently agreed that New Zealand's strategy remains contain and mitigate, which means we are working to minimise the importation of the flu at the border and to limit the spread of the flu by identifying cases and close contacts, dealing with them through isolation and Tamiflu. The numbers are this. 33 countries have now notified the World Health Organization of suspected swine flu or confirmed swine flu cases around the world. And Australia, we understand, has in excess of 100 suspected cases. New Zealand has 13 cases that we consider confirmed. And as you will know from our briefing that we put out late last night with the information when we got it, that's down one from the morning because there was a case that came from Samoa, not from LAX, as was originally informed to the authorities. We have at this morning at 9 o'clock 104 suspects here in New Zealand. As Dr. McGrath will explain later on, the growth in these suspect numbers is primarily from close family contacts of passengers on flights. And as you know, we are working hard to identify people potentially with swine flu so that we can provide them with treatment and support and limit the spread of the flu. I have a message from Healthline. Their calls this morning have plateaued. They have had quite a considerable demand. They're implementing a new strategy of a pre-recorded message of background information on swine flu because there are a lot of calls being received on that. I'll now turn to the Director General of Health, Stephen McKernan, who's going to talk about the regional approach and support in Auckland and also the establishment of a community-based assessment centre at Middlemore.
Good morning, everybody. Perhaps just a few comments in relation to some further discussions that have been happening within the Ministry and across the sector more generally with chief exec groups of district health boards, also with the chairs of district health boards, looking for district health boards to assess their resource requirements, including the ability to lend support to the Greater Auckland region. As the Minister has said, and in talking with Mr. Gary Smith, the Chief Exec of the Auckland District Health Board, the Northern Region is taking a regional response to this and have strengthened in that regard. This will also see the move to establish a community-based assessment centre, which was something that was provided for under the plan. They will be looking to finalise that location in the next 24 hours, but Middlemore is obviously a much closer facility to the airport and has available clinical space. So the idea behind a community-based assessment centre is a space where clinical assessments can be undertaken out away from the airport. The airport obviously key in terms of identification of people, and where the clinical assessments can be taken, where treatment can be given, and where additional isolation can be made, or people referred on for additional isolation if required. As the Minister said, New Zealand is still in containment phase, and the work, and the advice from the technical advisory group this morning was confirmation that our response in this to this situation has been very good. So we will also talk with in raising the or having conversations with chairs and with CEOs across the rest of the country, also alert them to start thinking about and planning for perhaps the development of more community-based assessment centres that maybe need to be brought on, but that could vary up and down the country as the situation evolves. I'll perhaps hand over to Dr. Fran McGrath for any further comments in relation to the situation.
Really just reinforcing what the Minister and the Director General have already said. As of yesterday, when we gave information that showed quite a significant increase in the number of cases that had been tallied, there's continuing to be an increase in the number of people who are what are called suspected cases. Absolutely as we would expect with an influenza, all of these additional suspected cases are people who've either arrived in New Zealand having been in countries where there is swine influenza, or have been close contacts of people who are being treated in New Zealand as probable close family contacts, so are likely to have got it that way. They're at the stage as suspected cases of being assessed to see whether this is some sort of infection like seasonal influenza or whether this will be more likely to be swine flu. But this is absolutely the pattern with an influenza. It is relatively easily spread, and the symptoms that we're getting are still around the mild end of the spectrum of influenza symptoms.
And that's a very important message. The cases that we've seen in New Zealand so far are mild, and people are on the road to recovery, if not have recovered. I might ask Dr. William Ranger, who's the incident controller at the Auckland Regional Public Health Service. William, will you be expecting some more results today on the testing for influenza A of some of your suspected cases?
Good morning. Yes, I think the next batch of results is expected around midday.
So we'll be able to give you some information on that in the afternoon update.
Minister, that just as a consequence, so you understand what that might mean, that's part of why the number of suspected cases may drop, or there may be a change in the number of probable cases. This is just about assessing the likelihood of this being a swine flu type infection for a suspected person or not.
Because as you'll remember with the Rangitoto kids, once we got the influenza A confirmation, we then considered them as probable, and then the testing from Melbourne showed that it was definite, and we're considering that across the cases. Okay, well, we'll open up to any questions.
Do you have any more assessments from Melbourne?
There were four tests sent to Melbourne, and as we advised yesterday, that there were 10 tests sent, but they picked four of the best samples, and that fourth one, there was insufficient quality genetic material to do a test.
And will you be sending further samples from Melbourne?
Further samples, I understand, have been sent to Melbourne.
That's correct,
have
Minister.
Been sent, are being sent recently.
What's the state of testing in New Zealand, like at the ESR lab in Upper Hutt?
That was what we talked about yesterday. I haven't checked that their status today, but what we were saying, what they were telling us yesterday is they've increased their capacity in their virology lab by upping the numbers of people available. They are already working with other laboratories in collaboration to do a part of the sequencing. So you go through, has somebody got influenza A, which all our labs can do? Then you say, of those who've got influenza A, are they an H1 type strain? And regional laboratories, including ESR, can do that. And then what we've been doing with those cases that are yes to that is some of them have been being sent to Melbourne and typed. ESR is working to be able to do a bigger chunk of that next stage. It's developmental. They would need to do it in collaboration with the regional laboratory, so that will be a moving, increasing capacity.
What about the lab that Dr. Lance Jennings has down in Christchurch? Is that being used as well?
It's able to do one part of that. The sequencing and the matching of DNA is quite specialised. And even if ESR begins to do that, or as they begin to do it, they need to check that. They need to collaborate with another laboratory to make sure that it's just to deal with the reliability at a lab level. Absolutely standard.
ESR's been saying that those cases would still be sent on to Melbourne for confirmation?
That's absolutely right. It's about making sure that what they're testing is consistent with what other laboratories that have been doing it for longer. It's about lab quality control.
Will it actually speed the process up for you?
That's their anticipation, and we're just waiting to see how quickly that can happen.
Will we bring it on shore at any stage?
Sorry?
Will we bring that capacity onshore at any stage?
Can't give you a definitive answer on that yet.
But the indication, I think, is that ESR will be able to provide us with a part of the information which should give us enough information to say that there's a confirmation and to act, and then it would be confirmed later in Melbourne. What we're trying to do is get as much information as soon as possible. And as we're operating, as soon as we get the information, we're getting it ready so that we can pass it on to you.
And how many tests have actually been sent to Melbourne in the second batch, and when will the results of those be known?
William, are you able to give me...
Can you just restate the question for me?
Yeah, William, the question was, how many further samples have been sent to Melbourne in the last day?
I'm sorry, I don't have that exact information for you.
Midday?
No.
How many samples are in that batch at midday? How many samples are in the batch that we're expecting results back at around midday?
So just to clarify, the batch that we're talking about overnight is the testing for whether it's influenza A.
First step.
Yeah, so that's the first step. And so that is what... takes, if it's positive, that takes a person from being a suspected case to being a probable case. So in answer to your question, I can't once again give you the exact numbers. We're operating quite a large team here, so I can't give all the details. But it will be in the tens or hundreds. It's not one or two. It'll be 40, 50.
That's the suspect.
Of that order. Now, I think what the other question was, how many tests have been sent to Melbourne for the definitive test for H1N1? Once again, I can't give you definitive numbers, but that will be in the order of tens,
yep.
Sorry, William, just one reassurance to everyone. As we have been doing from the start, if somebody is tested in our local laboratories as being influenza A and have had the exposures that put them in that category, then for all intents and purposes and how they're being managed, they're treated as if they have swine flu. We do not and have not been needing to wait for that really final DNA match and confirmation. For all practical purposes, they're treated with Tamiflu, they're isolated, and their close contacts are managed in the same way. So,
how concerned are you about mutation of the virus?
If you've been reading the international website, WHO is keeping an eye on this. Their expert advisory committee is doing that, and our laboratory specimens are fed into international information about that. It's an open question. Influenza viruses and swine viruses do mutate, and in the same way as we're needing to monitor whether a mutation might mean that this became less readily passed person to person, continued to be mild as it is at this stage, or began to have more serious symptoms, that's exactly the sort of thing that we need to be monitoring and are monitoring.
Let's get some clarification about the number of people in isolation. Yesterday the number was 179, went to 200. According to this, it's 111.
I think that's cases in isolation.
Yeah. So how many people nationally are in isolation?
Many more than that, because their close family contacts are as well.
Do we have a number?
It would be in the hundreds.
Look, we'll endeavour to. Look, there's a situation here. We've got a lot of people out there working, and information requests take a lot of take their effort off the job, really. So we're doing the best we can, but that's the number of cases. You can assume that there many of them will have two or three or four family members.
Yeah. Inevitably, the prioritisation exists around the probable cases and the treatment of those, and then obviously suspect cases.
Can you tell us how the sale of Tamiflu is going to work tomorrow?
It's available over the counter tomorrow. People can go and buy it if they wish. At this stage, we don't recommend people use Tamiflu unless they've got clinical needs. It's not, there's no use taking it until you're ill. So it would be as normal as it is every season, every flu season. If you're ill, if you want to buy Tamiflu, and it's available over the counter.
So do you need to present with symptoms?
You need to present with symptoms.
So if you're too sick to get out of bed, can you send someone to get it on your behalf?
No.
Oh, yes. It's an over-the-counter medicine. You don't need to go to a doctor. You can get it from the pharmacist.
I've been told that the guidelines are that caregivers are not able to
get
on behalf of the patient.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Can I assist, perhaps?
Yeah.
The guidance is quite clear, and the Pharmacy Guild takes this very seriously as a professional matter. The guidance around being able to buy Tamiflu for seasonal influenza is that the person, it needs to be appropriate. So the person needs to be at the state, they're an adult, and at the stage of early symptoms of influenza. If they are not in that situation for any reason, then they need to see their GP to get a prescription. So it is quite clear, and it's worked out on appropriate access.
The Pharmacy Guild this morning has expressed some concern about people coming into the pharmacy presenting symptoms, increasing risk. What's your view on that?
Look, it's the same message as the other day. We're just at the beginning of the flu and cold season. If people in New Zealand get symptoms, you know, if I got symptoms of a cold or influenza at this point, I haven't been in any of the countries where in swine flu is being spread. So I haven't been to Mexico or North America, and I am not a close contact of somebody who's being treated as a case. For New Zealanders, if you get the symptoms of flu or a cold and you haven't been exposed to swine flu or in those countries, then hey, the chances are, like last year, this is a cold or this is seasonal influenza.
But what if you have and you're presenting symptoms at a pharmacy?
If I have what?
If you have been in those countries.
Then if you have those symptoms, the advice is that you phone your general practitioner and that you arrange to be assessed. Those are the people. That's what the suspected case scenario is.
Is there already capacity there, or will existing patients have to be sent to other hospitals?
Rachel, William, you may be able to update us on the regional situation. We're just talking about some of the preparatory work with the strengthening of the regional response. And the question was made around the development of the community-based assessment centres and where that may be, and if it's at Middlemore, what that may be in terms of space. Are you able to give us any update on that? Or maybe at the next teleconference we could arrange for the regional coordinator to come on and perhaps give us an update in that area.
I'll arrange for that. I don't want to bore people with the details of the management, but the incident that we're controlling here at the Public Health Unit is about the containment and the contact tracing and the border control. We're in discussion with the regional group who would then take the lead on issues like community-based assessment centres and who would run those. So they will have the relevant information about how that gets set up. So I think bringing someone from that group will be appropriate.
I think in terms of your question, we'll have to come back.
And in our next media update, we can give you some information.
There's a question on the teleprompter from New Zealand doctor asking for the status of the 13.
William may be able to do that. William,
yes, so what was the question again?
Request from New Zealand doctor, the status of the 13 probable, the people who are being treated as though they have swine flu. Getting better, I thought.
Well, I am not aware of anyone having any severe illness. All I am aware of is that the illness is indeed mild, and as people, individuals, go through the process of quarantine, observation, and taking Tamiflu, they get the advice about, well, now you can go out of quarantine. So I think Thursday morning, as of today, some people will be released from quarantine, but as others go into quarantine, they'll be healed. So in terms of the degree of illness or the severity of illness, no change in that. Right. It appears to be a mild illness.
And in fact, you would have seen one of the young Rangitoto students in the newspaper today saying the symptoms were less than the normal winter flu. Now, we've been quite consistent in our message. It is mild and people have recovered. But of course, you know, it is still time to be cautious about these things.
Could that change, though, as the number of people infected
increase? That was part of the monitoring that, of course, we as part of a global community are needing to do. And we need to pull our information about what's going on with cases, the symptoms that they're getting with international information, and the expert committee that WHO has convened is part of doing that. It's always part of monitoring.
Yep.
Oh, I need some clarification around.
Well, hold on, we're just going here first. Yes. Thanks.
Of the student group from Rangitoto who are confirmed with the swine flu, how many of them today are released from quarantine?
William, would you be able to advise how many kids from Rangitoto who were in isolation will be back at school today?
No, I can't because I don't have that in front of me.
We'll see if we can get that information.
We can provide that to you.
And a final question, please.
I want to get some clarification around the sale and resale of Tamiflu. I've noticed on Trade Me a lot of people are trying to make a buck from selling face masks. Now, if people can go and get Tamiflu without prescription, will it be an offence for them to option it over the internet? Because it is technically a controlled substance, isn't it?
Good question. Let's look at it. I would have thought it might already be, but let's come back to you on that. Thank you. Yeah. I haven't been following Trade Me actually over the last few days, to be frank.
And on that note, can I thank you all for being here? You'll all have been given copies of the latest regional update, and we look to put another one of those out later in the afternoon.
We'll have a look.
And as I've said, we're continuing to provide you with the information when we get it. That's why we put out that 11:30 release last night, because we thought you'd appreciate that. So look, thank you all very much, and we'll at this stage looking at having the next press conference at 11 tomorrow, unless there is a significant event or information that we can provide to you. Thanks very much.